Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Messages from the Minor Prophets is what we're doing. So this period, we're on the book of Amos, and we started that last week. And so this will be part two on Amos. And tonight, I want to talk about God's passionate pursuit of wandering sheep. How many of sheep are known for wandering, right? We read the Word of God, and one thing that is throughout the Word of God is God often refers to His people as sheep. And sometimes we feel comforted by that. My grandmother had a picture above the dining room table of a guy who was supposed to be, I guess he was supposed to be Jesus, and was covered, taking care of a bunch of sheep. And we thought, oh, doesn't that look peaceful? Doesn't that look nice? Doesn't that look pleasant to know that Jesus is watching over us? We are the sheep of His pasture. And all these great illusions we have of that, our illustrations of that. And we kind of feel comforted knowing that God is our good shepherd and we are His good sheep. But the more and more I read about sheep, the more and more I'm not so sure that's a compliment. Right? Because sheep have never been found in the Guinness Book of World Record for knowledge sake or intelligence sake, right? I mean, they're just downright, small brained, if you will. And so I'm not really sure if I like the idea that God refers to us as His sheep. That might mean that He refers to us as people that get do some dumb things at time. But Isaiah said it like this: that like sheep, we've all strayed away. We've all left God's paths to follow our own. And yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. Let me just take a survey. How many would confess real quickly in this safe space that you have been guilty of wandering away to do your own things at times, and you're thankful God passionately pursues wandering sheep? Amen? That's what we're going to look about tonight. Amos, he paints a great picture of our shepherd. In Amos chapter 3, this is what the word says: "Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out." Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for this word from Your word, and we pray that tonight You will let it speak to our hearts and change our lives. And I pray that You'll minister, Lord, first off, to me, and then I pray You'll also minister through me Your words and Your words alone. Anoint us to hear as a people what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, and we'll give You thanks for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I want to ask you to look at this scripture one more time. As a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear. Sometimes I'm reading the Word of God. I got into practice, I don't know, a long time ago, 15, 20 years ago, I got into the practice of making sure I read the Bible through every year, and I've used all different kinds of digital versions and paper versions to do that with. And this is one of those verses, like every year when I'm reading through the book of Amos, for whatever reason, this scripture always catches me by surprise. And I just think that is such a weird scripture, like a shepherd that saves a lamb, even if he can just save two legs or a piece of an ear. And I read that and I think, who is interested in saving the ear of a lamb out of a lion's mouth? Does that just catch anybody a little bit peculiar? Does that stop you in your reading at any point? What in the world is Amos looking at? What in the world is he saying? Many would say, he hasn't salvaged very much, right? If all he salvaged is a piece of an ear or a piece of a leg, was it really worth fighting the lion to save a piece of an ear or the piece of a leg? I mean, this is a whole lot of effort for not very much return. But friends, I want to tell you what this is a picture of. This is a picture of God our Father, the Good Shepherd, who is passionately pursuing us, His people, that will stop at no measure whatsoever to rescue us and redeem us. And how many know that when we are down to we have nothing left, and everyone else says, well, what you have is no use, of no value. How many know that God can do something great out of what other people say is of no use and no valuable every single time? Amen? I don't know about you, but I just believe there's been some moments in my life where really all I had left of my life was just a piece of an ear and a broken leg. But God can take the broken things and make us whole again and do something great out of it. Amen? How many are glad to know that God can do that tonight? And so God is in passionate pursuit of us. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David got ready to fight Goliath, you know, Saul tried to talk him out of it. Remember that? And David sort of had the heart of a good shepherd, we know, because David says this, and here's what the Bible said about David when he was told he can't go after him. David said this, "When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from my flock, I went after him and attacked him," and listen to this, "and rescued it from his mouth when it rose up against me." That's a picture of what God does for us. God is not, he doesn't just see the devourer. He doesn't just see our enemy come after us and say, "Well, I guess that sheep is lost." I'm glad to know that our good shepherd fights the sheep off, and he never gives up fighting for us until we are safe in his arms. But, right, here's the but. But he cannot rescue us until we turn from him or turn to him. There has to be a desire on our part for us to allow the Lord to redeem us out of the lion's mouth, out of the devourer's mouth. There has to be a cry from our heart that says, "Lord, help me." And Amos begins to let us know that if we will return to the shepherd, if we will turn to him, he can redeem us out of all the enemies and out of all the evil things the enemy wants to do in our life. And so I want to talk to you real quickly tonight about not only how the Lord rescues us out of the lion's mouth, but how do I so often find myself wandering in the first place to a place I can become such easy prey to the enemy? See, here's the thing about sheep. They're easy prey if they're away from the shepherd. Right? They're defenseless if they're away from the shepherd. Matter of fact, the only defense a sheep has is to be close to the shepherd. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. The only defense you and I have for our life is staying close to the good shepherd. Amen? Amen? Staying close to him. But so many times we find ourselves, or I find myself, wandering away from him and beginning to find the damage that can come. And so how can we stop being wandering sheep and respond to the passionate pursuit of our shepherd? I want to give you a few ways. Number one, I want to challenge you to recognize the source of your discontentment. If you're taking notes or marking in your Bible, I'm going to flip forward. Basically, the next few messages are going to be continuations from this passage. And so we're going to look at chapters 4 and 5. And a couple of weeks, Danetta is going to speak from a chapter. And all this kind of stems from this same thought. And the first thing I want to challenge you tonight is recognize the source of your discontent. Look at this scripture in chapter 4, verse number 6. This is the Lord continuing to pursue us. And here's what he says. "I gave you empty stomachs in every city and a lack of bread in every town, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you, and the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but it withheld it from another. One field had rain, and the other one dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but didn't get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me." Are you picking up a theme here? The Lord keeps on saying this message, "You have not returned to me. Many times I struck your gardens and your vineyards and destroyed them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees, yet you have not returned from me." Did you notice there's a longing in the people? And if you'll just read the Bible for what it's saying, a lot of this longing was created by the Lord. Right? He began to destroy the things they were putting their trust in and the things they were going after. And sometimes we read this kind of scripture and we think, well, God was just mad at them and just punishing them and just beating them, just you know, letting his wrath fall upon them because he was mad at them. But that's really not the heartbeat of God at all, what he's doing here. What he is doing is he is drying up every source that they are leaning on till they will return to their real source, God our Father. Amen? And sometimes we have lacking in our life, and we think, well, the lack in my life, it must be that God is mad at me. The lack in my life must prove that God couldn't satisfy me. But I would like to challenge you today to understand that many times the lack in your life is actually God calling you towards Him. Right? It's not Him punishing you. It is Him trying to reel you in and say, at what point are you going to turn to me instead of doing what these guys did? Did you notice? Every time they had this longing, instead of letting their longing draw them to the Lord, they let their longing draw them to something else. And the something else never filled them. Their something else never satisfied them. I don't know if you were like this as a kid, but I remember as a kid, I kept on thinking that things could satisfy me, right? And it started with small things like, you know, the pretzels commercial. You can't eat just one. And that's true. You can't eat just one. You want another one and another one and another one. And when the whole can is gone, do they still sell pretzels? Pringles. Do they still sell Pringles in a can? Okay. When you get to the bottom of the can, guess what? You still want one more, right? You really can't eat just one, but what they don't tell you is when you eat them all, you want another can because they never satisfy. You think, if I have one more game, one more whatever, and then we grow into teenagers, we think, if I just got good grades or had this accomplishment, or, you know, we get into adults and we trade our accomplishments for, if I had this status, if I had this car, if I lived in this neighborhood, if I got this job, if I had this respect, then I would this longing would be satisfied. But you know, one person said decades ago, actually centuries ago, that each of us are born with a God-shaped hole in our hearts that no one can fill except for God. Yeah. Amen. And it doesn't matter how much stuff we throw in there, yeah, it's never going to be filled until we turn to the Lord. And the Lord said, I have done all this that you have, I've been trying to get your attention, but no matter what I do, you don't return to me. You know, Jesus came across a woman in the New Testament. He found her at a well, and, you know, she was drawing water, and Jesus asked her for something to drink, and just for illustration, I'll take a drink. I don't like it when preachers drink water while they preach, but sometimes I need to. So Jesus asked this woman, "Would you give me a drink?" And she said, "What are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? You know, why are you talking? We don't talk to each other. Why are you talking to me?" And Jesus said, "Well, if you knew who I was and what the gift of God was, you would actually ask me. Remember this account? And I would give you water that you would never thirst again." And she began to ask, you know, "Well, where do you get this water?" And Jesus said, "Well, go tell your husband and I'll tell you." And she said, "Well, I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband. You actually have five husbands, and the person you're not living with now, or you're living with now, is not your husband at all." And Jesus begins to say, "Listen, what I'm talking about it's not just H2O, but you've been trying to fill your life with things and people that don't satisfy." How many know that things and people will never satisfy? Things and people will never satisfy. And this lady, she picks up on what Jesus is putting down. And she begins to hear Him. And she begins to open her life up to Him. And He finally gives her. She turns to the town and says, "Come here, man that's told me everything that was ever known about me." She finds out that there's living water that will fill you. She turned to Him. But friends, as long as we are letting our longings, our lacking, as long as we're letting our discontentment take us to other things and other places, we're never going to really experience true fulfillment. So how do we keep from wandering? We got to realize that our discontentment oftentimes should lead us to the Lord and not let it lead us away from Him. Number two, you're going to love this point, is realize that repentance is the solution to wandering. We're going to skip down to chapter 5 now, verse number 12. Amos is still speaking. He says, "I know how many of your offenses are and how great your sins are. And there are those that you oppress the innocent and you take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. And therefore the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good and not evil. In other words, he's telling them to turn around from what you're doing. Stop seeking evil, start seeking good. How many know that's what repentance is all about? Is when you stop going one way, you ask God to forgive you, but then you don't just say, thanks for that, Lord. You turn and you do the other thing. That's what Amos is doing. He's saying to stop pursuing evil and start pursuing justice and goodness. And then the Lord will be with you just as he says he is. And then he goes on to verse number 15. And he says, perhaps, say that word with me, perhaps. Perhaps the Lord will have mercy on you, is what Amos says. You know, I've got good news for you today. When Jesus came to earth, he took the perhaps out of the equation. He says, if you'll turn to me, then you will be forgiven. You know, when we're going to talk about Jonah here in another few weeks. When Jonah preached to Nineveh, the Lord said, go tell Nineveh, go preach against it. It's actually the words that the King James uses. Go preach against it, and they'll know I'm going to destroy them. And so Jonah goes and preaches against it, and then he gets mad because God forgives him. Right? But that's the heart of God. His heart is not to destroy. His heart is to see repentance and then blessing. Right? And so one of the ways that we fail to, and we keep wandering, is we don't allow ourselves to be people who repent quickly. Proverbs chapter 28 says this, that you will never succeed in life by hiding your sins. So what does Jesus say? Well, in Acts, the word says to repent and turn to God so that he not perhaps will, but for he will forgive your sins. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, that if we turn away from sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then your sins will be forgiven. Can I tell you, the only thing that keeps this preacher from wandering into places I should not be is continual repentance. See, I'm afraid that many people think repenting is something they did in 1937 or 1967 or 1987 or 1997 or 2007. Whatever it was, you gave your life to the Lord, you repented then, and there's been no need of it since. And friends, I just want to tell you that is the furthest thing from the truth. Matter of fact, tell me what the two letters of that word repentance starts with is re. Like repeat and redo. Just the word repentance in its own merit, just the vocabulary lets you know that it's something that we should be doing more often than just once. And the Lord says, hey, repent, and I will come to you. It doesn't matter how. Here's what I love. I love the fact it doesn't matter how far we are. If you're just, you say, Pastor, there's nothing left. There's nothing to salvage. That's what the Amos said. It's just a little ear and a little bit of leg. But how many know that God wants our little bit that we have left over? He's never been concerned about how much we've lost. He's always concerned about how much he can redeem and how much life he can put into what's been tried to be stolen from the enemy. Amen? So repentance is not some dirty word that we as believers ought to run from. It's a practice we ought to run to every single day of our lives. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Third tonight, how do we keep from wandering? Is we refuse to replace relationship with religion. In verse number 23 of chapter 5, Amos said, the Lord is saying, away with your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice flow like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifice and offerings for 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine to your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. In other words, Amos is saying, you have traded real worship of the true God for every other thing under heaven. I remember when I was a kid in church, we used to talk about idols a lot in Sunday school and children's church. And I always thought, you know, of course, it's one of the Big Ten, right? The Big Ten things you don't do. Thou shalt have no idols, right? No gods before me. I kind of liked it when the Sunday school teacher would talk about that commandment, because I thought, this is the one I get a pass on. Because there's no way, even as an 8-year-old, I knew, there's no way that I'm going to go home and get a piece of wood or a piece of rock, and I'm going to form this thing and put on my mantle and bow down to it 17 times a day. That is just so ridiculous. That I would never do that. I thought that was, finally, there's a commandment I know I will never break. But how many know that more than just rocks and stone can become idols? Amen. Good things can become an idol. Our careers can become an idol. Our families, if we're not careful, can become an idol. Our work can become an idol. Sports can become an idol. I'll just tell you a secret. Even ministry can become an idol. Amen. And the Lord says, don't substitute anything for a real relationship with me. You know, the Bible says in the last days that people will act religious, but they'll lose the power of the relationship. And so since I believe that you and I are living in the last days, Jesus told people 2,000 years ago that he was coming again soon. And I don't know what his definition of soon is, but I know this. It's sooner now. Right? It's sooner now. And so if anyone has ever been living in the last days, it has to be us. And I'm not one of those guys that has 88 reasons why the Lord's going to come in 1988. Right? You remember that? In case you didn't know, he didn't come. But I know this. We're supposed to be ready. And we must never replace or substitute some form of godliness for God. Amen? And so, in conclusion tonight, before we get ready to pray, I just want to say again, I'm so thankful that we have a shepherd who's willing to rescue and redeem us, who when other people would look at us and say it's not worth it, it's just an ear. It's just a broken leg. I'm so thankful. Some of you are going to go home and you're gonna remember this Wednesday night message for 3 weeks. Somebody's going to, what did the preacher preach about? Something to do with an ear and a leg. I don't know. You're going to go to Popeye's after this service because you're getting hungry, thinking about an ear and a leg. But I'm thankful that God can look at what other people say isn't worth keeping and definitely isn't worth saving. It says, I can do something with that. He can rescue. And not only just can, he passionately pursues wandering sheep. Let's pray. Megan, if you want to come. I want us to do this before we even pray. Why don't you just lift your hands right now and give God thanks that he came after you? Would you just remember a moment? Remember the moment the Lord came after you when you were being devoured by the schemes of the enemy? Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I'm so thankful that when others thought, and perhaps we ourselves thought, that what we have left isn't, it's not enough left to do anything with. It's not enough left to live on. It's not enough to function with. But Lord, you can take those things that seem unusable and you can bring life to them. Lord, you can cause dead bones to live again. God, I'm thankful that you did that in our lives through salvation. And I'm thankful that tonight, if there's someone in this room tonight, they say, Pastor, all I've got left is just leftovers. It's just fragments. It's just remnants of what I used to be and what I used to could do. Lord, I'm thankful that you have passionately pursued them to this service tonight so that you can breathe new life into them, redeem them, and restore them this afternoon. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this is a Wednesday night crowd, but perhaps you walked in tonight and said, Pastor, I just feel like I'm just a picture of that sheep that's been devoured by the enemy. There's not much left. I want to tell you, God can do something great. He's not so concerned with what you've lost. He's concerned about will you give him what you have left so that he can redeem it and rework it and give new life to you this afternoon. So, Pastor, that's me. I've lost so much. I just feel like there's just a touch left. I'll tell you, God can do a lot with that. And I want to pray for you. That's how you feel tonight. Would you just lift a hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor. That describes me this afternoon. Amen. Amen. And you put your hands down. Secondly tonight, every single one of us, we are, Isaiah said, we are like sheep that are prone to go astray. I want to pray that tonight we would keep our guard up, that we would understand that our resource and our defenses is not in our own strength. The key to our success is staying close to the shepherd. Because when we're close to him and when we turn to him, he fights our battles for us. He will go to every extreme. Like David did, he'll rescue us out of the mouth of a lion, if that's what it takes, because he's the good shepherd. I want to challenge the rest of us. Let's keep our guard up. Let's stay close to the shepherd this afternoon. Would you stand with me all across this room? And I want us to pray for those who lifted their hands that said, hey, I feel like there's so much that's been lost. I want to tell you, let's take our eyes off of what's been lost. And let's focus on what we have left. And let's give that to the Lord and let him begin to rebuild and renew and restore in this place today. Would you help me pray for those? And if you lifted your hands a few moments ago, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to right now just take a posture of receiving from the Lord. And we're going to ask that right now he will just pour into you fresh oil, fresh wine, fresh strength, fresh anointing, and fresh power, fresh life into you. Church, would you agree with me in that prayer for those who lifted their hands? Father, I just pray it right now for these men and women who acknowledge that they have been tormented and they have been that wandering sheep in one way or the other. Lord, sometimes it's not deep, dark sin. Lord, sometimes it's just a callous heart and a busy schedule. Lord, we submit all that to you right now. And we pray that you would redeem us, that you would renew us, that you would restore us, that you would take what we think is too far gone and create new life and new power and new potential. Lord, a new creative work. Lord, restoring to a new body to do everything you intended it to do for us to do. Lord, I pray that even now those men and women who lifted their hands would receive strength from God. I pray the power of the Lord would infuse their life even now, that they would sense your power, sense your anointing, sense your strength, sense your restoral. Lord, open their eyes to see that when they call to you, Lord, you show up. You don't refuse them. Lord, you come to them and renew them. Lord, do that right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we all say, be near to us, Father. We all say, Lord, help us and lead us. We all say, Lord, keep us from wandering. Lord, let us live a life of continual repentance. Let us live a life that is continually turning towards you and never substituting other things for you. Well, that's our prayer. We love you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you receive the word of God, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap tonight? Amen. Lord, we love you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.